The epistle appointed for this, the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are on trial today about a good work done to a cripple, as to how this man has been cured, be it known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even in this name does he stand here before you sound. This is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which according to St. Luke, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners
now and at the hour of our death. Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Such a holy and profound name. Even so did the angels announce it before his conception, or before his birth. Also a name today which is most misused, blasphemed, ridiculed. We all have to be very careful that we don't give in to the habits of using our Lord's name in vain and give ourselves little penances when we do. As St. Peter points out, it is only by this name that we are saved. It's the first name we try to teach our children to say. It's the last name we whisper to those who are about to depart into eternity. Let us always bless the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never misuse it. Also, tomorrow being the Feast of the Epiphany, which is a little bit greater than the Feast of the Nativity, here the Magi are making their way to the crib to present their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They represent the whole world, and that's what Epiphany is, the manifestation of our Lord to the whole world, that he has come. Christmas time, the shepherds, they represented the chosen few to come and see him, how lowly he has become, how humble he made himself to be born in a stable, a dirty, smelly stable. So us lowly ones and simple of heart could come to such a one and see and believe. Our Lord could have been born in a palace with all the trimmings. He didn't choose this. Again, always wanting to show example. So he humbled himself and submitted to the cave to be put in a manger, which is nothing more than a feeding trough. That's where you'll find him. That's where the shepherds found him. That's where the Magi found him. The simple babe. That's why it's at this time of the year that we lay all our petitions to this little one and beg for his grace to help us through our troubles and our struggles. He gives us the grace to overcome ourselves. Being as it is the new year, and again, we should wish you all a happy new year. It's at this time that we make resolutions. For us religious, monks and nuns, Our only resolution can be of one, that we live our holy rule much better than we did last year, to all its little precepts and directions. But for others, the best resolution you could make is the amendment of life, the correction of self. Let's not do resolutions like we some do during Lent. Oh, I'll quit smoking, or I'll quit drinking, or I'll quit this. That's only for about 40-some days that you're really quitting. And then what happens? We go right back to the same habit, the same thing we did before Lent. The idea of a resolution is to try to keep it and not go back. Not go backwards. Continue on. We might fail from time to time, but we continue on, renewing it again and again, and asking the good Lord to help us to overcome ourselves. That's what we have to do. Every day, every day, every day, every day. And with God's grace, we'll do so. Remember, there are two eternities. There's heaven, and there's hell. No one is sent to either one of these places. You merit them. If you do evil and don't care of the consequences, then you know what you've merited. But if we do good and strive to do good, despite our failings, heaven's for us. It is just that simple and that easy. The only trick of all this is self-will. That's the thing that keeps getting in the way. And that's the thing we have to keep working at, along with our resolutions, is to keep that at bay. Remember, it's our daily duties, the will of God, our daily duties, the things we do each day. The more we try to overcome our little faults, our bad habits, our bad attitudes, our impatience, our uncharitableness, our unkindness, our bad language. We go after all these things and trying to correct them again and again and again. That we show the good example. That we truly show that we really want the good Lord in our lives and in our hearts. And every year we try to do a little bit better than we did last year. But one thing we must never give in, we must never give up. It's too important. And if we don't believe what I'm saying, look at the people out in the world who have given up, who don't care one way, shape, or form. Do you really think that their lives are better than yours? Not so. They might have everything, but that doesn't make their life better. Having things does not make your life better. What makes your life better is being in the state of grace. Being close to God. That's what makes your life better. Remember, the devil, as I said before, is not looking for companions. He's looking for your destruction in any way, shape, or form he can bring that about. He does not want you to have what he lost. And that's why we have to fight against ourselves, the flesh, and the devil every day of our lives, so we can win that crown that the Lord is holding out to us. That he will say to us in the future, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful for a few things. Enter to the kingdom. That's what we want to hear. Don't get discouraged over small things that keep happening, like distractions during prayers. Those are always going to happen. The thing is just don't give in to them. Try to cast them out like you would a bad temptation. Try to persevere in your good works, most important. But always, always, always say your prayers. Because without prayer, we try to run off doing our own things with our own strength. And we'll fail every time. We need God's grace to help us overcome ourselves, and especially, again, our bad habits and our bad predominant faults that we keep slipping into. This is our work. This is what we have to do. And with God's help, we will overcome these things. We will conquer them all. But we have to love and trust in the good Lord and wait on His good time, not to rush it, not to push His hand, to hurry things along, to hurry up. We must not do that. In God's good time, everything will come about just as He said it would. But the main thing that's most important is our patience. St. Paul tells us it's our patience that winneth the crown. So each day that we get up and have to tolerate the world and the things we have to do in the world, let us not be attached to anything. Let us keep our hearts and minds on the goal, always. Another day to know, to love, and to serve God. That's what we have to do. And any time we're in doubt about why we're here and what we're about, let us ask ourselves those three questions. How did I get here? Why am I here? And where am I going? If we answer these honestly, we'll do the right thing. This is what our Lord wants. This is what He desires. And one last thing, His greatest desire is to show mercy. He wants to always to forgive and forget all our past faults and failings. That's what He desires most of all. We on our part have to remember that if we want this mercy and forgiveness, we have to do and become like Him. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. Make our hearts like unto Thine. We have to become meek and humble. That's the only way we're going to get it. A proud man, he has nothing to do with. And a proud man will go from one fall to the next until he realizes that he is nothing. But as long as he keeps putting himself on a pedestal, our Lord has nothing to do with it. He can't operate, he can't function. He can't correspond or get a hold of anyone like that. But those who humble themselves and think little of themselves, knowing that they're just a creature of God, an unprofitable servant, as we say, these He can do a lot with. We just got to keep that in mind. We are unprofitable servants. And in order to do our work good, we have to have the grace of God to help us. That's why we have to pray so much, as if everything depends on God. And work as if everything depends on us. But prayer has to be there. As St. Benedict says, ora et labora, work and pray. And pray that the grace of God stays with you for the remaining of the years to come. And don't be afraid. Just keep asking the good Lord every day, all the time, for all the graces that you stand most in need of. He'll give them to you. Because He desires your salvation and gives us so many tools to help us achieve that goal. And one of the most important ones of them all is His most wonderful name, Jesus. May God bless you. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.